Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears live and up and running with you here on a Friday night. It is two guests in studio. We have Angie Evers, who joins me each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m., and Adam Lepp, who can be heard on this station Monday morning, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m., and on Tuesday and Thursday from 2:10 until 3 p.m., and at 8:15 in the morning, 10:15, 12:15 p.m., and 4:10 p.m. for about 3 to 5 minutes, doing the obituary report. That's really what you'll be remembered for. The obit report, not the shows.
I would think, Scott.
Yes, so you'll always have that. They said you'll always have Parrish, you'll always have the obituaries.
I am a radio man of many duties.
So tonight the phone lines will be open here, live and in color, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Now, the thing I want to start off talking about tonight is the thing that I ended talking about this morning. I cracked two mysteries today using the archives of the Marion Star. We went back 40 years to figure out why there was a problem with parking in downtown Marion and why this all happened. It was something called the Streetscape Program in the 80-81 era. And we also took the Harding piano, which used to be in the White House, and found out that in 1965, thanks to the Marion Star, we now know that was given to the Women's Club home, the Barlow home, by a man named Warren Sawyer. And that's a mess, because the Harding home claimed that it was on loan from them, and they wanted it back for the museum over there. And I guess they did get it back, I think. Nobody has told me that, but with all the mess that's been going on the last year with the pandemic and the museum opening being delayed, we really don't know if the piano got moved or not. So if anybody has information or opinion on any of this, 740-383-9944. Now, something interesting I want to say before we get into all that, so there's a lot to talk about tonight, it is that right before I went off the air earlier, it's funny because I think we had a gentleman listening who had not been listening at the start of the show, because I said you cannot be critical. At the start of the noon show, I said you can't be critical of Marion without people thinking that you're against Marion. You know, you're with us or you're against us, seems to be the attitude. And as I was going off the air today in the last 5 minutes, somebody called in and said, "You're so negative. You're a radio host," I think was what pretty well was said. And apparently they never listened to Rush Limbaugh. But radio host being negative is something that happens. But I think that you got to tell the truth. I don't think you can come. I think it's bad to lie, and I think you, the audience, would know if I was lying if I came on and said everything is great, and everything's always been great, and it's not. Now I can compliment things all day long. I always compliment the student dorms out on Mount Vernon Avenue. I think that the Catholic cemetery is great. I think that the Harding Memorial is great. I think it's a nice gesture that kids are using that for prom pictures and sledding. I think President Harding and Flo would certainly appreciate that. I think that the east side of town is great. It's a great area for commerce. But I think it is intellectually deceiving for me to say that downtown is what it was 60 years ago, and to say that the mall is what it was 20 years ago. It's just not. And, you know, just if that's negative, well, then that's negative. But that's the truth.
We've evolved, too. Forms of transportation, people's occupations. And obviously, the 95 and 23 areas is continually built out. So there's been some movement, but a lot of it is just changes in lifestyles, changes in occupation. I mean, the internet, working at home has changed it. We got the big box stores. For example, I was talking with Zach earlier. We need like a hardware store downtown. We have three hardware stores. They're all big box stores, all near each other in that 95 and 23 area. And I think we need like that neighborhood hardware store downtown or maybe on North Main Street. So there are some missing links there. And I'm thinking 60 years ago, we probably had something similar to that. And there was no Menards 60 years ago. So some of that is just a change in the business landscape.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, North Main Street is also something I talk about a lot as being a huge success in this community, especially for people in that area. North Main Street could be considered a very bad part of town if it wasn't for all the business that has opened up over there. Taco Bell, Rally's, McDonald's, Dairy Queen, a Dollar General, a Family Dollar, Carnivelli's, Stewart's Root Beer, Victor's Tacos. Now, this is about in a mile stretch. And this is a mile from downtown. And I keep asking the question, and nobody can answer this. Why North Main Street, a mile from downtown, why can they be a hub of commerce, but downtown can't?
You mentioned about the neighborhood. I think those businesses improve the neighborhood. They bring jobs. They get people out and about. I mean, Stewart's, for example, that's kind of a social hub, and that's great. And some of the bars just north of downtown on Main Street. So I think that helps with the variety, and it gets people out and about and makes the neighborhood look better. But you're only we still want to make sure that the housing, the opportunities are good, and that people love their city, love their neighborhood, and take care of where they're living. There are many things there, but the positive business atmosphere is certainly one piece of that puzzle.
What do you think, Angie?
I'm on North Main Street every day.
Right. But you work downtown.
I work downtown.
Now,
yes.
Why downtown is not the place to be at lunchtime, but North Main is, which is less than a mile away. Now, this is not the east side of town or the south side of town where all the commerce tends to be. It's North Main Street.
Right. I don't go to the downtown businesses, I guess, because I can't afford to eat $10 lunches every day. So, but I can go down to Rally's and get a Rally burger for a dollar, or go to Taco Bell and get a couple tacos, or, you know, McDonald's, Stewart's. You know, I can go that way and eat a lot cheaper than I could downtown.
But is it negative to say that? Because people do take that as negativity, especially the people who want downtown to be, I guess, what it was.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Like, the Center Street Market, it's a really nice place. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if people go in there or not.
Now, I don't know if they're listening tonight, but we had some people trying to call earlier, but I was going off the air after that comment came in earlier. So if you tried to call in earlier, call in tonight, or if you didn't try to call in earlier and have an opinion on this, call 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But this idea that radio people are supposed to be positive all the time, I think honest, not positive.
Yeah, otherwise you're just sugarcoating everything. Now, you don't have to be always negative. Rush Limbaugh certainly was more on the negative side, and that was just part of what people thought of him as. And you don't want to always be happy and always think that everything is perfect, because that's not the way life is. So you make a good balance. I don't see you as being negative, Scott. I'm not really sure why somebody said that. When you're critical, you do it in that cerebral manner. And you're not constantly being a downer. Really, you're never a downer at all. And I guess some people might interpret it that way. Maybe that person had not listened often, and the last time you just were happy about something, and for some reason this just struck a chord with the person, and it seemed like they were getting a different side. I don't know, because I know you well. I don't see that as part of your persona. And you mentioned Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, totally different. That's why I compare you to Dick Cavett, someone who's cerebral and analyzes things and shows some emotion, but doesn't overdo it on either side.
Well, this has just been a pet peeve all the time, because it's very easy to come in and be phony. And a lot of radio personalities I've gotten to work with have been and I will never say who they are, but I've went through this before. A lot of people I've worked with are complete phonies on the air, and very well-known people, but who they are on the air and who they are off the air are two different people altogether.
Yeah.
But they adopt that persona because they want to be liked. And I've always thought that radio and television broadcasters are very similar to actors. I think all actors, and I think most of them would tell you this, have something from their childhood, not where they had a bad childhood, but they were just not, they weren't out front. There was something lacking. So getting on stage, getting in front of people, there's some kind of satisfaction in that for them, because they weren't that in school. And you'll find that with a lot of people in radio and television, and I think it's just actors. And I think it's the same thing with broadcast people, is that if you want to be loved, you'll come on and you will, everything's positive and it's sunny every day. But it's not. And I think that's what you can, there are two different types of broadcasters. There are people like Rush Limbaugh, who clearly it was not sunny every day. And then there are people like Casey Kasem, which every day was a great day. Well, I'm telling, Casey Kasem had bad days. It just was his persona to be something different. What do you make, Angie?
I think that's true.
I mean, I knew your dad. Would you consider same guy on the air, off the air?
Well, yeah, he was a lot more quiet at home, but he did a lot of talking. I mean, he really liked to talk to people until he got, like, older. He didn't talk. Well, I think he forgot people's names, and I don't think he liked that. But he did like to talk to people.
But, you know, we had a conversation one time, and I had the same conversation with your sister, and it shocked me, because Charlie and I mean, we were friends, but we never went to each other's houses until way later in life. And I was shocked when your sister told me that he was quiet at home, because he certainly was not. And I'm not just talking on air where you have to talk. He came in the office talking. I mean, during the break, I would sit with him. We would talk. So that he would sit at home and be quiet, that's shocking to me. But I guess it was a different atmosphere for him.
He did enjoy talking to people, but when he was at home, he would sit in his chair and watch TV. And I mean, if he would talk, like if somebody was come over, and he would really talk.
But I think people would see him from his radio personality as being a very gregarious guy. Would you say he was that?
Probably not.
Yeah, I think people think that I am parties and want to do that sort of thing, because I get invited to those things, but I think I'm not so much that.
Yeah.
I don't see you as a big partier, Scott.
Not party in that way, just social. Social. They, you know, a social person. I'm not antisocial, but I don't think I go out of my way to... I don't know what you... Well, you would know this, Angie. You've spent time away. Well, you think I'm the same person? I've put it on your dad here. What do you think about me? Same person on air, off air?
Pretty much. Well, you talk quite a bit, though. I mean, like, me and you, we talk quite a bit.
But you've been to parties at my house.
And you're a talker.
You think?
Yeah. I do.
I feel I have to keep people entertained when they're over. Maybe this is why I live alone. That way when nobody's around, I can just...
You're quiet.
The silence. What do you think, Adam? You the same on the air, off the air?
I'm more talkative on the air. I say put a microphone in front of me. Not only am I more talkative, I speak better. I talk too fast when I'm not in front of a microphone. And I guess that's part of the appeal, is I'm a little different and... That's the professionalism. In terms of my opinions, my sense of humor, not taking myself seriously, constantly joking and sometimes giggling, that's the same. But the presentation, the delivery, that's just part of being in front of a microphone. And there's just something that clicks when I know I'm on the air that I have this broadcasting presentation, or if I'm doing a production. It has to fit the mood of what you're voicing, and of course you can always redo it and make some adjustments if it isn't perfect, because like many broadcasters, I try to be as much of a perfectionist as possible. But outside of the microphone, yeah, I guess it's just, my case, sloppiness. The personality, the atom is the same, just the presentation's a little different. It's certainly not as polished.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've known a lot of broadcasters, as I say, and they also have hidden things. And I don't know that they purposely hid things, characteristics about themselves, but not that you have to go on the air and tell everything about yourself, about your life, but they certainly... they would talk about things as if they had no skin in the game. And they did have skin in the game. And the best, I guess, people are probably thinking, what's he talking about? Well, I'm not going to say anything here out of school, because I would never go in anybody's closet. But I have, like I said a few weeks ago, you know, we just had this city council person. Or no, wasn't it? What did he run for? Clerk of Courts. A gentleman ran for clerk of courts, and he was the first, what was it? I want to get it right how he said it. First gay, was it? The first out candidate in Marion history for a political office. But we've had gay city council people, but did they go around saying it? Because they probably wouldn't have been elected for it. That's horrible to say. Now, people will come on and say, well, yes, they would have. Okay. Well, there's a reason they kept it hidden. And there have been radio people in this town who have been well-known in their circles gay. I mean, I certainly knew it. Not that they came out and told me, but I knew it. But I never heard them say it on the air, even when they were talking about that. So, I mean, I guess that's... if you were a teacher, if you were a doctor, if you were a bartender, I don't think that'd be an issue. But being on air, being an actor, it matters in those professions. Why do you think that is?
I think many times your demographic is important. You are the radio voice. And it kind of a joke. It's like, does somebody sound like he or she talks? And did you meet the person before hearing the show? Did you kind of meet the person and hear the radio presentation at the same time? Like, that's how I met you. It's kind of at the same time I had seen you and we talked. And I kind of wonder, well, do I sound like I talk? Do I sound older, younger? How is my presentation on the air compared to what you see in person? And I think the people here, I mean, Charlie, for example, Angie, I kind of met him on the air and in person at the same time. And it's like, well, of course he sounds like he looks, because that's the only Charlie that I've known. But sometimes you hear the people on the air and you don't really want to know what they look like, because you kind of envision the voice only. Almost every time I've seen, even in my own analyses, that the person does not look like he or she sounds. Versus, you know, we're talking like Dr. Ruth. It's like, I read her books, I heard her TV shows and radio shows. She's always looked like she sounds. But if you never knew what she looked like, what would you think? What would you think it was? That is fascinating, how we get a picture of somebody's appearance, including age, by hearing him or her on the air, not just the voice itself, but how they present themselves and their viewpoints.
Angie, what do you think when it comes to this? Why do you think that people in the public eye, politicians, radio people, actors, feel the need to, and I can't even say that they hide it, because maybe they just haven't been asked, but they don't feel the need to tell certain characteristics about themselves?
Maybe they feel like people won't listen.
I think it is derived out of fear. Certainly in politics, I think the reason is they feel they won't be elected in a very conservative community. Now, that's up for debate. I think they could be in certain areas for certain positions, but Marion's very conservative. And it would be hard if you were a candidate who was openly gay. I think that with as many churches as we have in Marion, not that every church person is would not vote for a gay person, but I think there would be talk of it. I certainly do. 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion on this, give me a buzz. But interestingly enough, on the good side, the best advice I ever got, and I used to get, when I would lecture at Harding, I'd do the journalism class over at Harding. The best advice in radio I ever got is radio, broadcasting, television as well, is subjective. It's all subjective. So basically, Jack Benny said years ago, who was the biggest star in radio, he said, if the people watching or listening like you, that's the best thing that can happen. If they don't like you, there's nothing you can do about it. Just be yourself. And that's truly it. You're not going to, if somebody doesn't like you, you're not going to convince them every day that they should like you. It's life. But you can come on and be phony and try to please everybody, but that's boring. You see that every day. Turn on any newscast at night. They all look the same. They all do the same thing. It's boring. I like a little color.
The best character you can play is yourself. But, and I know with me, when you go on the air, you're more polished. As again, I try to speak more clearly. And just watch what I say, because you want to sound professional. Whereas you're not going to be as careful when you're not on the air. And you don't want to sound like you're constantly a radio DJ or talk show host when you're in person. You want to be more off the cuff and informal. But I think I can pull that off, but you know, it's hard to analyze yourself for that.
I guess the theory behind, do you know what it would be like if you thought somebody didn't like you and you say, oh, that woman who lives over on Main Street doesn't like me. So you went on the air every day trying to make them like you, and that was your purpose? Your purpose should be, and I use the word all the time, is interesting. But in this term, in this conversation, it's the absolute truth. You should come on trying to be interesting, not likable. If they like you because you're interesting, great. But if they don't, you can't do anything about it.
You're right. People aren't going to, if they don't like you, they don't like you. You are right.
And I've never met a broadcaster, period, that everybody liked. There's always somebody who doesn't like them because they're just not their cup of tea.
And I know everybody doesn't like me. I know everybody doesn't like you. I mean, it's just, that's life. I mean, we cannot please absolutely everybody.
Certainly not. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, it's a pipe dream to think that everybody is going to have a positive opinion, even the most likable people. And you mentioned Rush Limbaugh. Part of his gig was people hating him. And I think most of the people that listened, they didn't like him, and they wanted to just throw a rotten egg at their radio or TV. And that's why they listen. And that was his thing. And Howard Cosell the same way. You know, I liked Howard Cosell. My mother didn't like him. My father liked him. So it's like you would probably see in families differing opinions. And whether you liked him or you hated him, you'd still want to watch. People got that thrill of saying, "Oh, this guy's great. Doesn't understand. He doesn't know anything about." My mother would say he wasn't good at baseball. I think he was better at football, but I think he was fine at all sports that he did. Didn't like the way that he talked, but they still watched, and that got advertisers because people were still viewing. The advertisers care how many eyes and ears are on that TV screen, and Howard Cosell got viewers to watch him and to listen to him and to hear his speaking of sports and his other commentaries, and you got his book here and to buy his book. So he relished in the negativity. Whereas I said Dick Cavett, who I said reminds me of you a lot, he had the cerebral approach, and some people might find that too dry. I think it's educational, but it could be considered a little bit too dry. Dr. Ruth, I mean, You're gonna like her because she is very, you know, she's very sharp and gives good advice. And again, she's funny at times, doesn't take herself too seriously, so she gets listeners that way. So each host has this success because of the niche that he or she is in, and many do relish the negativity. But you know, Howard Cosell, I think someone where the opinions would run the gamut.
Well, I interviewed Howard Cosell's grandson. And it's interesting to me because I think Howard Cosell's an interesting example here because he was critical of people. I mean, the name of his book is I Never Played the Game. And behind that is he's critiquing people who played sports who were made broadcasters who had no broadcasting experience.
Yeah.
That's where the title comes from, I Never Played the Game. And in that book, he critiques a lot of the people who he worked with who were allegedly his fans. The town must be on fire tonight or something.
Yeah, there have been a lot of fire trucks today.
But Howard Cosell was interesting because he was critical. But talking to his grandson, the man was very hypersensitive of criticism himself. Now, isn't that interesting? The man was one of the most critical people in the world, but he did not like, he didn't understand, I think his son even, or grandson said, he didn't understand that when you say things like that, that some people aren't going to like you.
Yeah, my mom said you can dish it in, but you can't dish it out. But, you know, that was his gig, and he didn't necessarily have to have the same perspectives in person. And you'd like he was kind of playing that character. But it was still the same man. The knowledge and the voice, that's all the same. But he had that persona for radio and for TV. So he made a living, Scott, of being someone that you're going to love or you're going to hate. In many cases, it's a combination of both. I think my mom had a positive and a negative opinion. But we all would watch him. And that was how he became popular. And, you know, Phil Donahue also, cerebral, had a lot of unusual guests, innovative guests, but his politics of being rather far to the left, some people might object to that, versus Rush Limbaugh being very far to the right. With Phil Donahue, he has a much more positive approach in his interviews and his general persona. He's just a more likable guy. Rush, it's like someone, even if you agree with him, you're probably not going to find him someone you'd want to go out and have a beer with. Whereas Phil Donahue, yeah, he comes across as cool. And even if you don't like his politics, even if you think he's too liberal, you're going to respect him because he's got these good guests. And you'll take his opinions into account and say, well, maybe I need to rethink and reinvent myself a little bit. And that gave him so much staying power. And that's why he's been a good guest with you, because he has a lot of that cerebral nature that you do and that Dick Cavett does, but is different in some ways. So it's why you've had all these great long interviews with him. And he has so many good things to say, you'll never run out of conversation with the guy.
Telephone lines are open, by the way, 47 minutes past the hour. What do you think of this conversation? Negative? Positive? What do you think about being honest about the city of Marion? And what do you think about the history of downtown Marion, the streetscape program? Where are these sculptures that were supposed to be downtown? Where are these unique street signs? Where's the five-tier parking garage that was supposed to be at the Harding Hotel that was supposed to solve the parking problem downtown? Do you think the piano should have ended up at the Harding Museum instead of the Women's Club? Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. But I think this is an interesting conversation in regard to broadcasting, in regard to the city of Marion, and in regard to life in general. We had Pat Carroll on this week, and she says it all the time, that the best characters to play are the evil ones because they have more edges to them. They're more interesting. You know, it's boring to be nice and likable all the time. It's okay, but those are not the most interesting people.
Why don't we ask Mr. McFeely that next time we see him? Because Mr. Rogers, yeah, always happy, always seemingly looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. Mr. McFeely, always happy, joking around. I know it's a kid's show, but it worked. But then we look at like Sesame. I know this might sound silly, Scott, but we look at Sesame Street. Oscar the Grouch is maybe the most lovable person there, and he's a grouch. I know it's just a show, but it's something about him. He's just lovable in that. In that grouchy way. Big Bird, kind of silly. Ernie and Bert, just kind of weird. Grover, I guess, kind of a wise guy. But you get back to Oscar the Grouch. I think he is, for some reason, maybe the character on Sesame Street that people, I grew up watching Sesame Street, that people just remember. And it's a little different because he's a lovable grouch, and it's a puppet. It's not an actual evil character. But there are the similarities. And many of these memorable, again, getting back to the 70s, these memorable sitcom characters, Fred Sanford, Archie Bunker, Mr. Grant, there's one you've interviewed and is still around and he's on the show, fact that they were grouchy on the outside, but kind of a pussycat inside, that makes for great character development. And I think that Mr. Grant just was the epitome of that. That, yeah, he seemed kind of gruff. I mean, he was always drinking. But inside, he was a pussycat.
Now, Angie, you've gotten to be around some broadcasters in your life, other than your father. And there's one who you have, just like with me, I won't say the ones who I like or dislike. There's one you have a particularly negative opinion of. But would you say that person is the same on air as what you see in reality?
I'm trying to think who you're thinking about.
It's not me, is it?
No.
Okay, maybe it's me.
I don't want to give you any hints because it'll give the person.
Did I think it is? I don't think it's that person.
Probably not.
You know who I'm thinking of.
We talked about him on the way over here tonight.
Who is this person?
My mind is blank.
In any event, this person, and I will say this, there are a lot of issues with this person that I won't go into, but I've known them for a long time, and off the air, they could make coffee nervous. They are very jumpy. They are very neurotic. But when you get them on air, it is magical sometimes. It's just magic.
Well, that isn't me because I can be neurotic, but I don't think.
No, this isn't me. This is somebody.
Do I know this person?
Everybody would know this person.
Does this person work at the station?
I'm saying everybody would know this person.
Okay, I'm curious now, Scott.
I'm just saying.
I can't even remember.
There's only one person you've ever said you've disliked, ever, that I ever in broadcasting. That I've said, and you've given the thumbs down when I say their name.
I wish I knew who this was, Scott. I'm curious now.
Well, you must not dislike them too much.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I can't even think what we talked about. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We always talk about a bunch of stuff, so I don't know.
This person, that's my definition of them. They will make coffee nervous. But you wouldn't get that when they're on the air. They do a very professional job, and sometimes they are just magic when they're on the air. And if you go back and listen to them, it's fine. And you don't realize you'd have no idea what went on.
I know who you're talking about.
You have no idea what went on to get in.
I am curious now.
But you have no idea what goes into getting this person to that point. And so there you go. So now that you know who I'm talking about.
I can't believe I couldn't remember.
But you know who I'm talking about now, right?
I know exactly who you're talking
about. And you do have
a
negative opinion of this person,
yes,
right?
Okay. I do.
But is that the person, if you didn't know anything about that person but them on the air, would you think they were that way?
No.
There you go.
I have no clue, Scott. As long as it's not me,
No, it's not you.
You're saying the person is very professional and good on the microphone, but just rubs you the wrong way as a... It's a man? You said he first, and you said they. So I don't know. I assume it's a man, but I don't know.
You know, the pictures people post on Facebook are getting weirder and weirder by the day.
Yes, that is my sister's butt.
You said it.
It's my sister's butt.
I'm not getting blamed for this one.
Well, is it going to be the butt of a few jokes?
I think so.
Now, what do you think this is all about? Now, you can't just tell people what they're... Because people
I think
can't
it's
see
just,
it.
It's
a picture...
It's a picture of my sister
from
underneath
the
overpass with her butt in the picture.
But
so,
she's fully clothed, let's say.
Right. Yeah.
This is not a...
Her husband took the picture, I'm sure. Yeah. Tim took the
picture.
Interesting.
Her husband's a magistrate. I'm just...
He's goofy.
Okay, I just...
Yeah.
I'm just...
He's just goofy.
But he seems like he's... I've not met him.
No, see, but why would you put that on the internet? You don't put people's backsides on the internet.
Well,
I don't.
Some people do.
Okay, well.
I don't want my backside on the internet. But.
You said but? Okay.
But.
Okay.
You can say but.
Well, she said it, yeah. I don't know. It's... Amy takes a lot of nice pictures.
Well, look at that other picture down there.
Usually the picture is Reed, her son. Or
you
Ted.
Are right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
Everybody does
things different. I bet your mom gets on her.
I'm sure she does.
Your mom, who's listening right now, I'm sure Jeannie.
Yeah.
I bet Jeannie gets on her for this picture.
She takes a lot of photos, but I said usually it's her son, Reed, because he likes to kind of have goofy poses.
Reed is goofy like his dad.
And it's Tim, but
yeah.
I guess she wanted to, I don't know, just equal opportunity. I don't know.
Maybe.
Now, do you think let's be honest, do you think she knew that was being taken?
No, it's a surprise.
Oh, I'm going to go in the yes column. I think she absolutely knew it was being taken. Because I've been around her picture taking before, and I don't think anything gets by to Facebook without her approval.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, you know she wouldn't tell you.
Oh, I don't know. I think she would. In any event. Oh, I just wanted to say, though, I spent last Saturday in Amish country with Natalie, Angie's daughter, and Angie, and Jeannie, her mom, who, of course, I've known for a long, long time. And we had a great time.
Oh, yeah, we had fun.
The Evers women.
It was a little chilly.
That's what it was. It was me and the Evers women last Saturday.
Best time you ever had, right?
Yes. We took Scott to the farm, Hershberger's farm.
Oh, I did. I was out there with the goats and the cows and the gigantic horse. It was freezing, but I was out there.
I even got Scott to pet a pig. What else? What else did you pet?
Yeah, that guy really should have cleaned up before he came to the farm. But I petted him anyway.
I'm going to rack my brain and find out who this mystery person is.
Oh, Adam's going to have an aneurysm over here.
It is a man, right? Because you said he.
You get no hint. I'm not even telling you off the air.
First he said he, then he said they. So I'm pretty sure it's a man.
I'm not even going to tell you during the break because I know it bothers you
now.
I'm
going to figure it out.
You'll never figure it out because I'll never tell you if you're right or not.
Maybe we should put that in Family Feud, like name 7 broadcasters you don't like. I wonder where I would be on that list.
No, I'll tell you one person, though, and I don't know if anybody knows this, but oh my goodness gracious, this guy, I mean, people do like them, which is perfectly fine, but they are 10 pounds of horrible off the air. I mean, it is just an awful experience to be with them. I couldn't do it anymore. And you know what? And by the way, this is not just my opinion. There were several engineers who worked with this person who could not stand them. There you go. But you know what? You know what's sad? The broadcasting industry is filled with more men than women, so it could be a lot of people. He was so horrible that he went through so many engineers. Nobody wanted to work with the guy. He was just awful. I can't even explain how awful the guy was. But on the air, Mr. Nice Guy.
It's like these lists you see on Facebook. It's like 10 celebrities who are really mean in person. And you got the 10 who are really nice in person. Henry Winkler is always on that list of the nicest celebrities. And I've talked to Patrick Maruniak about this because he's met a lot of these people.
Now, Patrick is the same on air as off air.
Yeah,
crazy.
Very similar. Yeah, well.
Crazy.
But he likes being crazy. I like Patrick, to be honest with you. It's just he does not deal well with other people.
And he said, on the phone, Puff Daddy was kind of short with him. But Kelly Clarkson was really nice. Down to earth, like talking to your sister. Not that Puff Daddy was mean, just he wasn't quite as friendly as some of the others. But it's like I asked about Henry Winkler, because every single list I see is that he was the nicest guy. He'll sign all the autographs you ask, and he'll talk to you about anything. And he does those reverse mortgage commercials, so Patrick even asked him if he has a reverse mortgage, and I think he does.
Well, see, right there, probably all went downhill.
So that's an example. We have these lists of people that they have the same persona or a different persona on and off the air.
Go ahead, caller. Oh, we lost the caller. If that was you, give us a call back, 740-383-9944, before we go to break here in hour number one. If that was you, buzz us back. This is them. Let's get to the caller here. We want to hear from you. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller?
My call dropped.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're there.
Guys?
Yes?
You're talking about personalities. Did you see the reports on Ellen?
Oh, yeah, she's canceling her show.
Yes. That kind of shocks me that people who work for her say she's dreadful to work for.
Yeah, I've heard that, too, that she's been on that list of mean celebrities, and you'd think she's always so smiling and chipper, but apparently she's not.
And on air, you would never guess that. That shocked me.
See, but I'm hesitant, not because I'm an Ellen fan, because I'm really not. I don't think I've ever really watched her show. But, you know, sometimes I read that I'm horrible, and then I have to check myself to see if I really am horrible or not.
Well, see, I've heard that you are a racist, and you're negative, and you're anti-Marian. So, yeah, word gets around, buddy.
Yeah, sometimes I have to check the papers in the morning to see what my mood's going to be that day.
Oh my, it sounds like you had one heck of a day.
I did, but a good day. It was that whole racist story this morning. I am totally sympathetic to the person who maybe they did think I was looking over their shoulder. I don't know, but.
We don't live a life that they have lived, being of color. And I'm sure they've been discriminated against and treated differently throughout their life at certain times. So maybe you are a little jaded, and, you know, your first thought is that you're suspicious, and, you know, and it's sad that people have to live that way. And I would hope that things get better when it comes to that.
Right. I just think in that particular situation, the response, if this person had not gone after the little old lady that was also there and had not gone after the manager of the place as well, I probably would have thought then I just did something wrong by coming over there. And also it did bother me that the person didn't want the item that was not ringing up. They still wanted the other items. So that does make me curious.
Yeah, I would feel the same way.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, yeah, but I do think you're right. The whole Ellen story is a deep story, but she might be a nice person, and sometimes people do write awful stuff about you who they don't know you at all, and I'm guessing Ellen had success, and anytime somebody is successful, you are going to have people who don't like them, and sometimes you do have bad interactions with people. I always have said, sometimes when I'm working other jobs, because I'm busy, I am shorter with people than I think they would like, and I think sometimes they take that as me being short with them. But it's not...
Yeah, I take it personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. It's just I have to go do something. I'd much rather stand here and have this conversation, but I can't. So and Ellen, being certainly famous here in the United States and in other countries as well, I'm sure it gets tiring to be approached all the time, and I'm sure you're not as nice with everybody as you could be. You know, there used to be stories about Barbara Walters in New York all the time because she was so well known that she couldn't take her daughter out shopping because she would be mobbed. So she said she stopped making eye contact with people. That was her way of avoiding it. She would just look straight ahead when she was out. And, you know, I'm sure that came off as very short.
Standoffish, right?
Yeah, but it happens. But we're going to break, but I hope you continue to listen. And if anything else catches your mind, call back in.
I will.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We're going to break back in 15.
11, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you.